Jai is the recognition of this, it's the glory of the internal potency, the victory of the internal potency over the external potency. So that it's an actual event every time we say those. It's not just something that's part of the routine. It should be, it's a very wonderful experience, actually, the echoing of prema, and how they translate prema dwana there. Thank you. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Of course, we say that before the class, and that's the first part of the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when everything is the seed in Om, the mold. We're offering our obeisances, Bhagavate to Krishna, Vasudevaya, who's everywhere for the devotee. He can see. For someone who's remembering Krishna, Krishna is never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to Krishna. So that's in that, those words also, if we're paying attention when we say that, we know that the last part, that was the beginning, the last part is Sattvam Param Dimahi. So this Dimahi, that's the functional part, the Govinda, our devotional service. So that we'll be trying to enter into the Srimad Bhagavatam. It says one should hear it with rapt attention. And it says if you hear with rapt attention, that's what 1344, then certainly you'll see Krishna in every page of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this vision of being able to see Krishna is being given to us by simply paying the price, paying obeisances, paying attention. So what's the currency for paying attention? Something to think about. So today, we'll be reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, the song of the Avanti Brahmana, and we have two verses. We have 53 and 54. So 53 doesn't have a purport, so maybe we can say that all together. And then we'll do... I'll do the translation to it, and then we'll do 54 in the usual manner of response. Thank you.
Okay, together. Brahmanam sukhavakaroshe ni-atma-yajasya-dhamasya-tayam Brahmanam
So the translation to that is, if we examine the hypothesis that the planets are the immediate cause of suffering and happiness, then also where is the relationship with the soul who is eternal? After all, the effect of the planets applies only to things that have taken birth. Expert astrologers have moreover explained how the planets are only causing pain to each other. Therefore, since the living entity is distinct from these planets and from the material body, against whom should he vent his anger? Interesting, huh? I don't know if astrologers will use this as their one of their logos or anything. So now we'll do text 54.
Karmasthetu sukha dukkha yoschet. किम् आत्मनस्तं जगा जगत्वे देहस्तचित्पुरुषोऽयं सुपाना कुर्येत तस्मै नहि कामनाम् कामस्तु हेतु सुखदुःखयोश्चेत् किम् आत्मनस्तं जगा जगत्वे देहस्तचित्पुरुषोऽयं सुपाना कुर्येत तस्मै नहि कामनाम्
Karma
constitute
the
activity.
One spirit activity.
As to.
Hypothetically granted.
Hitihani. The cause. Sukadukayo. Of happiness and distress.
In what?
Atmanaha. For the soul.
That karma.
He certainly. In the world material and not material.
Deha.
The body.
On the one hand.
Achit. Not meaning. Purushaha. The person.
I am this.
Supanaha.
Endowed with living consciousness.
Kudvaita.
One should become angry.
Kasam.
At whom?
Na.
He certainly.
Karma.
Stupid
activity.
Mula.
Root cause. Interesting, the word mula. Root. You know, so everybody's interested in mula. Making some mula. You know, so another jump on that one is sometimes Prabhupada would talk about artha. You know, the artha also meant economic development, but Prabhupada would also say profit. So he said, so when we're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in class, one should think, how can I profit from this? What is the real essential item that we'll be hearing? Because so many different speakers come and we have our own idiosyncrasies, but the value is if you can pick something out that'll be good, that's something useful, because it says punya shravan kirtan. It's, you're modified every time you hear something. So the pious activities, you're evolving by the hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam. So today we're going to be making a couple points, hopefully. Translation. If we assume that fruit of work is the cause of happiness and distress, we are still not dealing with the soul. The idea of material work arises when there is a spiritual actor who is conscious and a material body that undergoes the transformation of happiness and distress as a reaction to such work. Since the body has no life, it cannot be the actual recipient of happiness and distress. Nor can the soul, who is ultimately completely spiritual and aloof from the material body. Since karma has no ultimate basis in either the body or the soul, at whom can one become angry? That's actually quite a lot, the way they say that. There's a lot of philosophy behind this, these statements. So, we'll see what the purport here says. The material body is composed of earth, water, fire, and air, just like bricks, or stones, and other objects. Our consciousness, falsely absorbed in the body, experiences having distress, and fruit of work, karma, is performed when we falsely consider ourselves to be the enjoyers of the material world. So he's giving us a little definition, bringing us up to date on how the valid conception of work, of life works. False ego is thus the illusory combination within our minds of the self and the body, which are actually two separate objects. And in the past, sometimes Prabhupada would give the example, there's wood and there's fire. Who would confuse the two? The two different things, the fire and the wood. So the consciousness is compared to the fire, and the wood is compared to the body. So we're being asked to recognize that distinction between the consciousness and the body here, two different elements. And the way that they're combined, it says here, is a misidentification, which is ego means your identification, and false means you made a mistake here. But it's imposed on us, like yesterday, John Mosby read a nice verse on, is it 5:21, something like that, 1?
5:25:1.
5:25:1, on how this is imposed on us. We're subject to, because he was going by the 2:9:1, is that we have to understand that there's Krishna, and Krishna is ultimately the controller, and he's putting the living entities in this condition. And then the mechanism of how the condition takes place was being explained, the mechanics. But we're interested now a little bit from a slightly different angle. So we're understanding the mechanics of how we're put in illusion, what the illusion is, and ultimately how to come out of it. Okay. So the false ego is thus the illusory combination within our minds of the self and the body, which are actually two separate objects. Okay, that's the fire and wood. Since karma, or the material work, is based on illusory consciousness, these activities are also illusory and have no factual basis in either the body or the soul. So Krishna explains that in the 8th chapter. He says there's activities that produce this, and those are called fruit of activities, and that's kind of like where we're talking about today, karma. Is a particular type of activity that's performed with a certain type of consciousness. It's not that everything is karma and that all bodies are karmic reactions, but there's a certain, certainly most of them are, but we're being given a special vision that reminds me, of course, Om Ajnana Nirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksumari Tanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha, that our spiritual master, he's imparting this knowledge to us of what is matter and what is spirit, and the control of both. So we can see that this is what is matter, the body, what is spirit, consciousness, and the control of both. And according to the different agencies, we've been put in this condition, and we're becoming aware of it, Tattva Brahma Jignas, in the human form of life, and we're being able to solve the problem of life, which is to stop the suffering, stop the pain, birth, death, disease, and old age, adiatmic, adibodhic, and adidaivic, miseries, strong word. Okay. When a conditioned soul falsely considers himself to be the body and subsequently the enjoyer of the material world, he tries to find pleasure in illicit connection with women. Of course, we know from the Bhagavad Gita, it says the wise does not take part in the sources of misery. So, that takes some time. Such a sinful activity is based on the false conception of being the body and thus the enjoyer of women and of the world. Since he is not the body, his activities of enjoying a woman does not actually exist. There is merely the interaction of the two machines, namely the two bodies. So, remember, Prabhupada, he would go like this. He said, what did he say when he did that? Rubbing. Just, anyway, that's the hand signal he gave. Merely an interaction of two machines. All right. And the interaction of the illusory consciousness of the man and woman. The sensation of illicit sex occurs within the material body and is falsely assimilated by the false ego as his own experience. Thus, the miserable or pleasurable reactions of karma ultimately act upon the false ego and not upon the body, which is composed of dull matter, nor upon the soul, which has nothing to do with matter. False ego is an illusory concoction of the mind. It is specifically this false ego that is suffering, happiness, and distress. The soul cannot become angry at others since he is not personally enjoying or suffering. Rather, the false ego is doing it. Jaitam sarito pangor mama manda matya kati matsa vatsa patam bojo rada madana mohana. So in this part of the Bhagavatam, this is Krishna talking to Uddhava, his dear friend. And if you notice, this is after the 10th canto, after the process of pure devotional service. It's a later chapter. And one of the things that I've noted is each one of us is hearing this information, and each one of us is understanding it to some degree, some more, some less. As they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. And this chapter, and I was thinking also maybe chapter 7 of the 11th canto, where Krishna was talking to Uddhava in the beginning, was the chapter of the 24 gurus. So Krishna is giving us a couple of examples of how devotees process this knowledge. We're all processing this knowledge. Everything that happens in our life, which is continuing to happen at every moment, every aspect of our day, something's taking place, we're now understanding it and thinking in terms of what we've heard from our spiritual master, from the devotees, and this is how we're processing. So this is a new way of processing. It's not simply the mental concoction of the mind. We have this overlay of the material, over-material consciousness of our, what we could call bhakti intelligence. Something appears either in our mind or in our eyes or our ears. We hear things. That can't be stopped. But within a moment or two, we have to understand what it is. What is this event that's taking place? And as we're being modified by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, we're considering more and more things. Like I was in this particular chapter, it reminded me of a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, because this is how I'm learning to, there's a verse for that. So every time that something takes place, you can think there's a verse for that. And it says that the verses that the disciple learns from the spiritual master are decorations on the ear, carnivore. The decorations. So we decorate our consciousness by remembering the different words of the spiritual master. So this verse, I was thinking of this one that today is something that we can relate to a couple verses. There's a 16, 21, and 22. Chaviham Mara Kasya Vedham. Anybody recognize it yet? Not the way I pronounced it. After long enough time. Okay. Well, it says that generally someone who chants Hare Krishna, they've already visited all the holy places, they've already gone through all the different trainings of the, I don't know how, I think I was probably a mosquito. You know the last thing a mosquito hears when he bites a devotee? Hare Krishna. So I think it's a thing. Anyway, There are three gates leading to hell. We know what they are. Lust, which was in the purport, anger, which is in the verse, and greed. Every sane man should give these up, for they lead to the degradation of the soul. So, of course, the next verse says, the man who has escaped these three gates of hell, O son of Kunti, performs acts conducive to self-realization and thus gradually obtains the supreme destination. So, of course, in here it's explaining that we're in the process right now. We've already understood certain things and we're evolving, just like that 15:11 verse. It says, for those that, I'll read it. Getting started. 15:11 is so nice because it says the endeavoring transcendentalists. So that's the classification of devotees. We're endeavoring, and this is a transcendental science, and we're at different stages of development, and each one of us is applying this Krishna consciousness in our life to different degrees. And that's specifically very satisfying to the super soul. Remember, there's two birds sitting in a tree. One bird's Krishna, one bird's me. I'm always in distress trying to find happiness, and Krishna's waiting day by day when I'll finally turn his way. Used to be nurse to take care of kids, you know, so you learn. So Krishna's been waiting for a long time, and we're finally turning his way. So there's a special interaction now, how the super soul, we're looking, and he's giving us verses from the Bhagavad Gita, which are directly him himself. How can we say that knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness, and it gives you a verse to remember? That's not Krishna doing that. What else is it? Is it external energy giving you verses from the Bhagavad Gita? Not like that. Okay. So, verse 11 of the 15th chapter. The endeavoring transcendentals who are situated in self-realization, we actually are situated in different degrees of that, can see all this clearly. That's why we're hearing this class. We're understanding these things to some degree. But those who are not situated in self-realization cannot see what's taking place, although they may try to. So this is kind of like the definition of esoteric, guya, or rahasya. They're all similar words that mean there's a certain mystery that's being revealed to the devotees as they're surrendering, individually, each one of us. So here, in this chapter 23 and in chapter 7 of the 24 gurus, Krishna himself is using devotees as examples to show how each one of us is understanding this philosophy and applying it. Because we see he's singing this song, and each one of these points that he's emphasizing here, there's volumes of philosophy behind each one of his realizations. So the same way in our life, every time we do anything in Krishna consciousness, there's volumes of understanding. And of course, I take this as an extension. Krishna says things so simply, but the purports are just lifetimes of simple, just like in the verse today, there's sukha dukkha. So everyone would naturally think of 2:14, Marta Sparsa's sukha dukkha da. Sukha da. So we are sukha. She gave us a nice class the other day. It happened. So in this verse it says one has to learn to tolerate without being disturbed. So this is how we're learning today how to tolerate. There's three things. What are those things? Lust, anger, greed. That we learn to tolerate, because if you don't tolerate it, it's a door to hell. So it doesn't sound like the door we want to go through, so we have to learn how to tolerate. And these things are showing an example. Bhagavad Gita gives you the explanation of what it is. But then where's the example in the Bhagavatam of the devotees showing you how to do that? So here's a devotee that's showing you how to deal with anger. Does anybody ever get angry? Yeah, right. It just comes over you like a wave. I mean, practically speaking, there's a certain recovery time after that. Maybe it's a week, maybe it's a day, maybe it's an hour. And when you can bring it right down to the same time that it's happening, you're already free from it. That's kind of the goal. So right now, we say sorry, we try to avoid things. So here, this is one of the ways that builds a philosophical consciousness. We have an internal environment by which is being modified, our subtle body is being modified by these instructions. And it's actually being digested if you go to that 326.
325-33.
Yeah, that's right, 325-33. Yeah, the 326-24 is how you can recognize he's talking. Oh, yeah, he knows the verse. So, the digestion is the way Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that it's being dissolved. It's just like when you eat, digest your food. So this digestion is... I just got two other verses. Anyway, it says the first bite digestion starts. So it starts right away. All of us are already in this process of digesting our subtle body. But the second part is when it goes into your stomach, so to speak. You can get technical, intestines and things. But generally speaking, it gets divided into two groups. It gets divided into nutrition for your body to gain its strength for the day and store it sometimes. And waste. It gets eliminated, goes through the tube and comes out. So, he explains that when you accept those things favorable for devotional service, that's the nutrition that grows your subtle body. That's how our body is grown, by accepting those things favorable. And when you reject those things unfavorable, that's the digestion of your false ego. It takes time to digest, but it's being eliminated waste product. So there's two more places that I thought would be fascinating to add to this, something that I remembered by Krishna's mercy, Guru Krishna Prasade. There's in the worshipping of Govardhan Hill, chapter 24 of the Krishna book, Prabhupada said, a person who acts in full knowledge gets the full result. One who acts without knowledge does not get such a perfect result. Therefore, please explain to me the purpose of the sacrifice which you are going to perform according to the Vedic injunctions. So, Prabhupada gave a very powerful lecture on this, where he says you have to know what you're doing. The more knowledge you do what you're doing with, the more results you're going to get. Here it said, a person who acts with full knowledge gets the full result. So, we're hearing every day, so we can know what we're doing, and we can do it knowingly what we're doing. There's a lot of automatic things that happen, but there's still, we are responsible for our own consciousness. The chit potency, right? So, I don't know. We're responsible for our own chit potency. All right. So, in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, which is a summary of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a section in the first chapter where with Rupa Goswami's teachings, where Rupa Murugas were following in his footsteps, he's our the one who explains everything and to us, we're following that So here is Lord Chaitanya explaining the different ways of how to come to rasa. Ultimately, the kind of mellow that we have in devotional service is evolving. And when it gets to a certain point, it's technically explained as rasa. But that is, there's a flavor of how and why we do everything. And right now it still exists with Rishikesh, the master of our senses. We're starting to recognize if we're not this body, as soon as you stop listening, or let's put it the other way, as soon as you start listening to the spiritual master, for one who's conquered the mind, the super soul's already reached. So that's a general yoga understanding in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, verse 7. So for us, when we offer Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, when we're offering obeisances, because Prabhupada explains one has to accept a superior authority. So when we're offering obeisances to the spiritual master, he's the external manifestation of the super soul. So we're getting directions directly from the spiritual master, which is directly the manifestation of the super soul, Satsat Hari Twain. So most confidential servant of the Lord is acknowledging all revealed scriptures and followed by all authorities. So when we're hearing and we're having our relationship with trying to please the spiritual master, that's not under the realm of karma. So I was going to read this one part, because this is the stages to come to the entry level of rasa. And it relates directly to what we're hearing now. It's just kind of an overview to put it into kind of a perspective, because it's explained, if you know where you're going, you can get there quickly. You know, if you don't know exactly what you're doing. So we're learning full knowledge, full result, how to do this. So it says, the word shama, S with a slash, A-M-A. Is that shama? Shama?
Shama.
Means controlling the mind and keeping it from being perverted in various ways while fixing it on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, when one whose mind is fixed on the Supreme Lord, he's situated on a shama platform. On that platform, the devotee understands. What's he understand? That Krishna is the basic principle of everything within our experience. So what's the Bhagavad Gita verse that Prabhupada's going to quote? 7:19. After many, many verses of cultivating knowledge, one who's attained real knowledge surrenders unto Vasudeva, because why? Why does he do that? He understands that Krishna is present in everything. So Krishna's actually present in everything. Pretty far out. It's not that he becomes present in everything once you realize it. He's already there. You just have to accept that. And this process of knowledge is giving us ointment of knowledge to be able to see Krishna in everything. Krishna is in everything. So, alright, now that you got that, what's the next thing you have to do? How to keep it? Like we were mentioning yesterday, right now everybody's experiencing some happiness and freedom from the threefold miseries. What was it, the verse you told me? Was it 4? For one who is satisfied, 265. For one who is thus satisfied in Krishna consciousness, the threefold miseries no longer exist. So for one who is sat is 5. So I play with words sometimes so I can remember. If you take a look at the word satisfaction, S-A-T. So what do we generally think of? If we're not in school, we think of Sanskrit, sat. What about sat? What's the next two letters? Is. What's the next four letters? Fact. So if you have sa is fact, you have to be on. Who's on? I on. Okay. If sa is fact, I on, you know what you have? Satisfaction. So an easy way to remember it. Sometimes they throw those words in English just to, you know, have you play with something. But the idea is that you have to recognize Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, Nasochati Nakanchati, Sana Sarveshu Bhuteshu, Madhaktim Labhate Hara. So once you recognize Sat, that's who you are, now you're going to get a little bit of chit. So how to maintain that? You've come to the point of understanding Vasudev Sarvamiti. So you can have some anartha nivritti, but that's nishtha is only halfway. So how do you go on from there? That was adoshrata sadasanga bhajana kriya anartha nivritti. And then there's nishtha. So here, what happens after this 719? Okay. So he's realized Krishna is in everything. And distributed all over the cosmic manifestation. So everything is Krishna, but we understand Parashakti. He has many different energies. Mainly we're concerned with three. That brings us to the Om, and Om Namo Bhagavate. We always have these three that we have. You know, if you look at an Om sign, it's a three, but with a little smiley face that you finally are getting. Okay, you got it. There's three of us here. There's Krishna's different energies. There's you, the process of devotional service. So, okay, we got the smiley face. We got the three. Okay, so we're understanding this. Okay. So everything is under, although everything is under the control of the Supreme, whose situation is everything, everything is nonetheless different from Krishna. Okay, so who thinks of the verse, 2945? No more numbers. I don't have the Sanskrit down. It's one of the nutshell verses. I enter into everything, at the same time I don't enter into everything. So that's a clue. We get lots of clues. But what is the clue about is that he's not in it if you don't want him in it. You can try to exploit that material resources and you won't see Krishna. You'll have on your blinders of Maya. But if you take away that cataract and you have your jnananjana, you have your ointment on your eyes to clear up the cataract, then you see actually Krishna is in everything. He has this divine energy of mind. Even though it's the modes of nature, it's still under his control. It's still divine because it has a purpose. 246. You have to know what the purpose is so you don't get blindsided. You know, to think that a source of misery is a happiness. But Krishna is very kind. Maya will make sure you get the point. Okay. There are 3 points. Adiatmik, Adigoric, and Adidaivik. You get the point? So she'll stick you. So you get the point. Then, so what's the next thing after this Sama platform is Tatiksha. Okay, so he's going to go and quote a verse. Lord Krishna is quoting verses from the Bhagavad Gita to Rupa Goswami. Alright, so I'll read the rest of this and then just a little bit more. Although everything is situated, we said that one. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that platform or shana by which one understands that Krishna is the basic principle of everything, is the same as Shantarati. Unless one is elevated to the platform of Shantarati, one cannot be fixed in the knowledge of the greatness of Krishna or the diffusion of his different energies, that is the Parashakti, which are the cause of the manifestation. So he quotes this verse. Sama, Shama. Equilibrium mind is achieved by one who has concluded that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original source of everything. I think we all understood that from Bhagavad Gita. What's the verse? Aham Sarvasya Prabhupada. Yes, that's right. 10:8, nutshell. Actually, this is start off. And then the next verse after that, and the one after that, and after that, are all just devotees, right? He says, what do you do if you know that? You're going to keep friendship with the devotees. And what are you going to do when you're with a devotee? You're going to be talking. And what are you going to be talking? You're going to be talking about Krishna. And that you'll be enlivening one another. And then he explains the next verse. I saw Prabhupada combine these two verses, and it's changed me ever since then. The Tesham Satatam Yuktam, that the intelligence by which you come to me, he related it by having the association devotees talk about him. That's how we do that. And then the next verse, he says, that's my special mercy. So the devotees in our association that we get to discuss Krishna with, that's all the special mercy, and Krishna created it. So that's a Hamsa Vrsha Prabhu. He created that situation. And right now, this point where Krishna is explaining to Uddhava how the devotees are processing this information. He's shown us in this chapter, here's how he's processing how not to go to hell, controlling how to tolerate. He's shown us by the personal example of a devotee doing it and getting us to talk about all the different things that made up his consciousness to be able to do that. So we can also, we'll get opportunities, you know, 13:8-12, well, that's the process of knowledge by which processing, we're processing this knowledge by which we become out of the bodily conception of life. He says we have to be tolerate because this world is so constituted that you're going to get plenty of opportunities. So the opportunity comes to us in the mode of passion, we become angry. But in the mode of goodness, the gates are illumined with knowledge. We get to remember these instructions and practice. It may not happen immediately because that's just what I'm reading now. I'll read a little bit more how it takes place, this process, because Krishna reiterates it again in the teachings to Rupa Goswami, where he says, when this equilibrium of mind is created, is achieved by one who has concluded that it's all Krishna. Everything's Krishna. He's the source of everything. And one who controls the senses is called Dhamma. So you have to do a little sense control. In other words, if you allowed your senses to say what they wanted to say when you're angry, what would your mind conclude that you should do? That's the wrong one to do. So you have to say, boy, I'd really like to, you know, this guy, you know, but that's the mind. So we're told there's an intelligence now that's supposed to control the mind and not do that. So that requires some strength. So what's that strength called? Okay. It says, when one is ready to tolerate all kinds of sufferings to control the senses and to keep the mind steady, it is called tadiksha, tolerance. So here we understand that tolerance, we got knowledge, if I do this, and I go to the prison with Sranga Thakur, we preach, and here's examples of people who didn't control their mind when they felt that anger come over them. This guy should just be put out of his misery right now. And they did that. And now they're saying, boy, you know, I would have been better if I didn't do that. You know, I should have controlled my senses. So we do have examples that not everybody does it. And you get to, they give you a time out from the rest of your life to think about it, to do a little bit of pen. And so the pen is the Sambandha Gyan. This is the pen that we keep like there's playpens, a restricted area. We keep our mind in the pen of intelligence. Sometimes you could call it, if you were raised in a culture, Lakshman Rekha. Who knows what a Lakshman Rekha is? Do you know that one?
Yeah.
What is that one? Yeah, so what was that line? He's a spiritual master. He says, what happens if you stay within this line or if you go outside of it? You're safe if you stay within the pen, this Lakshman Rekha. You're safe. It's fiery. He says, but if you step over that penance, that tapa, tapa is also hot. You stay within that pen, Maya won't capture you. You won't be transformed. You'll be able to stay in the internal potency and not get a different sita here. You know, anyway, so, and if you go out, you have to get back in. So to get back in, it's called repent. So you go back into that protection for those who are. But there's some verse about being under divine protection. Who's under the divine protection? Mahatmas. Ah, there you go, Mahatmas. They're under the divine protection. They're inside that pen, which is the tapa, the fire of... okay, so that's tadiksha. So we got the sama, dhamma, tadiksha. And then it says if you can dhriti. Yeah, dhriti. D-H-R with a dot on your T-I. Dhriti? That means determined. So, you're getting ready to do it. I know I should do this. Then, you're actually doing it. Now, what's it called when you've done it? Getting ready to do it, doing it, and done it. The next word here is called dhira. Dhira means he's not disturbed now. So, here we're reading about this person who's had a lot of opportunities to become disturbed. A lot of things he had to tolerate. But because these instructions were given to us, the eternal nana shastra, the eternal principles, six Goswamis are expert at scrutinizing and studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles. So these principles of how to tolerate, first, Krishna is the source of everything. Krishna, as the super soul, he's controlling everyone. You got your 18, 60, 61, 62. That you're going to do it in one of two ways. That 61, they're all being controlled by Krishna. You, by your nature, you're going to either do what you're going to do anyway, but you can do it under, surrender to the super soul utterly, and he'll protect you. So we have the choice now because of knowledge of the different potencies. You may act, but you have to act under Krishna's control. So the sama, dhamma, the diksha, dhriti, dhira, and that's how Lord Chaitanya is explaining to Rupa Goswami to get to Shanta Ras, which is the baseline for being on the other side of the Viraj, birth and death. So this one must learn to tolerate. There's a little bit, it seems kind of simple, but there's a whole iceberg underneath how we learn to tolerate. And will anybody get an opportunity in this life? So this is what the rubber meets the road. This is where you can practice this. So when some situation comes up, instead of being angry, you think, Krishna is giving me this opportunity to practice this, to practice staying within this Sambandha Jnana, being protected by the memory of the instructions of the spiritual master, which are decorations on our ears. And then Krishna, as a super soul, says, oh, he wants to remember him in these instructions, because what's he want? He wants to go back home. He wants to be with me. He wants to always stay pleasing. And how many times does Krishna say that? He starts right off in the 12th chapter. with the qualities. He is non-envious, is a kind friend to everyone, doesn't consider himself a proprietor, is free from the false ego. He's very dear to me. So we can just reinforce it and build it up, our surrender. So in each situation, which will come up, we can practice. And it's a little confusing to the person who's upset with you how you're still happy or diffusing. That's the 1858 also. If you become conscious of me, what will happen? We're becoming conscious of Krishna, what will happen? You'll be able to, well, if you become conscious of me, you'll cross over around the river. All the difficulties. I gotta get a running start, or I gotta read it. Anybody remember? If you become conscious of me, you'll cross over all the obstacles of conditional life by my grace. If, however, you don't work in this consciousness, but act through the false ego, not hearing me, you'll be lost. So, of course, there's a series of verses that's right in there. Anytime you see a verse, read a verse or two before it and a verse or two after that. And all activities just depend upon me. We're fully in this consciousness. You know, so this point is always remember Krishna and build that memory of Krishna with knowledge of how to always stay focused on Krishna, sama, and how to tolerate things by staying in the sambandha, jnana, being ready to know that it's going to be uncomfortable. What's the word for being uncomfortable in Krishna consciousness? That even though I'm voluntarily ready to undergo difficulties, what's that word used for? Who knows the it's like Jeopardy. I give the definition, you give me the word. Tapasya? Austerity. Yeah, ready, voluntarily. So there's where that tapasya comes in, that the fire, isn't it tapas, hot heat, turn up the heat. So this heat, it's not to build a fire around you, it's when you get insulted or all kinds of stuff happen, because this world, Prabhupada says, is so constituted. Thank you very much for your attention, and it's so nice to be back here. So many wonderful devotees, because we have our own language, we can't really talk like this to anybody else. Or you can, but you know that they really can't understand even more than everybody else. They just don't get it at all. But because we've been initiated into a process with sacred mantras that we say, and we're performing the austerities of the sadhana, these understandings that we get by the mercy of the spiritual master and Krishna, other people, they can't understand it. They don't have that Guru Krishna Prasade. So we try to have them follow, chant Hare Krishna. And of course, one other way we could do it, we run it through the 10 offenses. Because everything we're learning is targeted or included within the 10 offenses. So the first offense, I could see that one. Could we relate that if something doesn't go our way, we get upset? Okay, there, it's someone's fault. So that fault is now being eliminated. It's no one's fault. We're not putting blame. Who am I to blame? So that aspect, we can also see how this chapter is helping us with the first offense. And then the demigods, they're also not independent, they're under Krishna's control, they're part of the whole plan. We can actually see everything, each part we could also relate to chanting Hare Krishna and becoming more and more aware. There's Premanam, there's Bhavanam, there's what's the other? There's different types. Sudanam, and then there's Abhav. And we're almost get a dim reflection, and then there's opera. So we have to know these things and avoid them, so everything will progress along. Like my flesh. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you. If there's any questions or comments, we'll. extended, if not. Thank you. Hare Krishna.